The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. And we'll start on the front page with the cover story headline, Magic Circles Chatham. With home sales projected to start in 2027, Disney's Asteria community could triple Pittsburgh's population of just over 4,600. Here's how it came together. And the story begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with the second headline, Disney's Pittsburgh Play. Stakes are high for planned 4,000-home Asteria community. And this is written by Ben Tobin. A day in May 2020 was setting up to be just like any other for Philip Matthews. Like he has done for decades, Matthews planned to make cold calls to sell property on behalf of clients, this time a large waterfront property in the Wilmington area. Little did he know that one call that day would lead the Walt Disney Company to North Carolina. Matthews, vice president of land investments and sales for APG Companies, found a website for DMB Development of Scottsdale, Arizona, which had been involved in projects in Hawaii and California. In a call with DMB Development Chairman Drew Brown, Matthews asked if he'd consider Wilmington. Brown responded with a list of requirements, including room for thousands of homes. Matthews, at the time, had no idea DMB partnered with Disney. The Wilmington land did not meet DMB's qualifications, but Matthews had a different idea, 8,000-acre Chatham Park in Pittsburgh. So Matthews pivoted and phoned Tim Smith and Bubba Rawl, co-founders of Preston Development and Chatham Park's visionaries, and they were interested. I called Mr. Brown back and said, Mr. Brown, I think I have the project for you, sir. Everything you described to me is in this project, Matthew said. And that's how it truly began. And that set in motion what could be one of the biggest developments in the history of North Carolina. At that point, there was no talk of Disney. It would be more than a year before the entertainment giant would even unveil its story Living by Disney residential real estate concept, and longer still before the North Carolina project came into focus. But in December 2023, Story Living by Disney announced it would be bringing a more than 4,000-home, 1,500-acre Disney-inspired community to Chatham County. I've been doing this over 40 years, Matthews said. I've never even dreamed of a real estate transaction with more than 4,000 homes, but it's happened. The community, Asteria, will only be the second Disney community nationwide following the Catino community in Southern California. When Disney announced this massive community in a rural North Carolina county that not many people have heard of nationwide, it sent shockwaves throughout the state. And 18 months later, much of the specifics of the community are still a mystery. But this much is clear. The stakes are high for Pittsburgh. If Asteria comes to fruition with home sales projected to start in 2027, it could triple the town's population of just over 4,600. That will result in an explosive growth of Pittsburgh's tax base, a likely boon to local businesses and job creation, and an attraction of national restaurants and retailers that haven't given Pittsburgh the time of day. Asteria represents about one-fifth of the homes planned for Chatham Park, a project that has been in the works for decades, and it means that Chatham County may finally even have a movie theater. But as two Chatham County projects have demonstrated, the much-delayed VinFast electric vehicle project in Moncure and the rocky takeoff of semiconductor manufacturer Wolfspeed's Siler City plant, much can happen between announcing a plan and delivering on it. A hint out west. Disney is known for the utmost secrecy when it comes to real estate. Over the course of nearly 2 years in the mid-1960s, Disney leaders quietly acquired swamp and farmland in Central Florida for less than $200 per acre on average, all under the guise of a development given the nondescript pseudonym Project X. In all, Disney acquired more than 27,740 acres, twice the size of Manhattan, for what the company later announced would be Walt Disney World. Though Wisteria won't be an amusement park, it fits into the mold of Disney's experiences sector, according to David Hedger, a senior equity analyst for Edward Jones, who covers Disney. These residential real estate projects are a natural extension of what Disney already does well, he said. In 2019, experiences made up about 45% of Disney's operating profit, he said. By 2024, it was 60%. That tells you where the company is headed. Cruises, parks, now residential, this all reflects how central the experiences segment has become to Disney's long-term strategy. Nonetheless, Hedger said the analyst community hasn't talked much about Story Living by Disney and that it hasn't really been brought up on earnings calls. The Disney community in California may provide a glimpse of what's coming to North Carolina. First announced in February 2022, Catino is located 30 minutes outside of Palm Springs. The project will be a smaller scope than Asteria, as it will spread across more than 600 acres and include nearly 2,000 homes. The first homes in the community are available for sale, while many of the amenities of the community, including a grand oasis lagoon with a beach and an event space modeled after a home featured in the Disney Pixar film Incredibles 2, are expected to open this fall. In 2026, Disney said it plans to open a town center with shops and dining, as well as a future hotel in the community. Prices for the Catino home start well above $1 million, with plans for some to start in the beyond $4 million. Disney has not shared when it anticipates full build-out of the community. While Catino makes progress, public details are scant regarding Asteria, and those with knowledge of the project are staying tight-lipped. Matthew Dean, general manager of Asteria, declined to comment, and Preston Development Smith said, "I can't speak much about Disney." The Asteria website says the community will include single-family and multifamily offerings, some residences for those 55 and older, a clubhouse, a wellness center, a community garden, and an extensive trail system. Estimated listing prices of these future homes have not yet been disclosed. Homes currently listed in the Chatham Park range from the upper $400,000s to north of $900,000. Asteria's impact on Pittsburgh. Real estate broker Eric Andrews has been in Pittsburgh for more than 30 years, and he was just as surprised as anyone else when Disney announced it would be coming to his home. The office for his company, Realty World Carolina Properties, is right on Pittsburgh's quaint main drag, next to a local barber shop and the 145-year-old courthouse. "I never thought that Disney would come here," Andrews said, "and if you told me that 25 years ago, I think I would have laughed." For now, the land that will serve as the future home of Asteria has only grass, trees, and dirt along the banks of the Haw River. Yet, despite Andrew's surprise, he said the move makes sense. "Disney was really astute as far as recognizing that there are a lot of executives that are moving to the Raleigh-Cary area and in Chatham County. We serve a lot of grandparents that want to be near those people," he said. "When you talk to the people in California, you tell them it's an hour commute between here and Raleigh, and they laugh at it. They think that's nothing, and they'd be happy to only have an hour commute, which to us is rather surreal." Smith said Preston Development estimates that 40% of homebuyers in Asteria will be from outside of North Carolina, while 60% will be in-state. Rawl Smith's business partner said he is optimistic that Asteria will attract people coming from out of state to work for some of the region's large employers. "These projects are destination home communities," Rawl said. "They aren't just for retirees. Let's just say you work for IBM and you're moving here to the market. It'll be a place to certainly hit your radar." Business leaders in Chatham County believe Asteria will catalyze further investment in the region. Rebecca Dickinson, president and CEO of the Chatham Chamber of Commerce, said that the 4,000 or so homes planned for Asteria represent just 18% of what Chatham Park will have at full build-out. Both Rawl and Smith have said that Disney will be huge in helping them recruit other developments for their master planned community. Dickinson said Asteria will provide a nationally renowned lifestyle anchor to Chatham County and that the reverberations of it will be felt for years to come. Disney's nationwide marketing will put Pittsburgh on the radar of retailers, experience-based brands, and corporate site selectors that have never looked at central North Carolina before. This could lead to everyday conveniences and folks in bigger cities like Raleigh or Durham. May take for granted. "We still don't have a movie theater in Chatham County," Andrew said. "Well, I'm pretty sure if Disney comes here, somebody's going to open up a movie theater." Challenges ahead. 2022 was a fairy tale year for Chatham County. On March 29, Vietnamese electric Manufacturer VinFast announced plans for a new 7,500-job, $4 billion factory at Triangle Innovation Point Park in Moncure. About 6 months later, semiconductor manufacturer Wolfspeed announced plans for a new 1,800-job, $5 billion factory at a megasite by Siler City. 3 years later, these two projects have not lived up to Chatham County's hopes. VinFast announced last year that it would start manufacturing at its new Chatham County plant in 2028, 4 years later than originally promised. Meanwhile, Wolfspeed announced plans to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in late June, weeks after announcing that 73 jobs would be cut at its Siler City plant. Disney, to be sure, is a much more well-established and financially strong company than either VinFast or Wolfspeed, but these projects go to show that announcing and delivering on a project are two entirely separate tasks, and that the pool of home buyers for Asteria could be changing. The Asteria project broke ground in May, with the project team beginning to clear the entrance road, which will be called Asteria Boulevard, for the first phase of the project. That first phase is slated to have 494 homes, and it received preliminary plat approval from the Pittsburgh Board of Commissioners in June. Meanwhile, some residents in Pittsburgh are not too pleased about all the potential change coming their way, according to Andrews. "The first thing that comes up to us is everybody's worried about their property tax," Andrew said. "I guess time will tell. We just had a recent assessment, and a lot of people were upset about their assessment. Some people said it went up 50%, and other people said it even doubled." Jonathan Franklin, the Pittsburgh town manager, said Asteria has three main benefits to existing and future residents of the town: a broader and more resilient tax base, a diverse mix of housing types that meet residents' evolving needs, and an extensive greenway network through the neighborhood and along the Hall River, enhancing public access to open space. "Homes in this neighborhood are projected to be valued at roughly twice the current Pittsburgh median, generating a significant uplift to the municipal tax base," Franklin said. "That additional revenue should allow the town to keep its property tax rate steady while the development's self-contained amenities, parks, trails, and community facilities help limit new demands on public services." Looking forward. While much about Asteria remains cloaked in corporate secrecy, from its architectural aesthetics to eventual home prices, one thing is clear: its presence in Chatham Park marks a new chapter for Pittsburgh and for North Carolina. "Disney is helping tell the story nationally for us of why we're so great," Dickinson said. "So, of course, people are going to be looking at Chatham County because it's got a higher level of visibility than it ever has before." Meanwhile, since making that key call, Matthews has largely turned the next steps over to Preston Development, and he's fine with that. "I don't really have a big ego," Matthews said. "I just like what I do. I've been searching long and hard my whole career to do something like this. It's always been a dream of mine to be a part of it. And I just worked myself into getting lucky." And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, A Quick Glance at Triangle Happenings, written by Dane Huffman. Smashing Stuff is a rising business. Local entrepreneur sees an opportunity to let people bash TVs and more for fun. Aaron Wright had co-founded and exited two companies when, thinking about starting something new, he saw some information last year on a new business that involved smashing stuff. While previously involved more in healthcare, he found the idea of getting aligned with a fast-growing concept out of New York intriguing. After some conversations, he landed the North Carolina rights to iSmash and just opened his first one in Wake Forest. The concept is simple. iSmash buys old computers and coffee makers and glass items from places like Goodwill and then guests crush them. "Everyone has a smile on their face and just loves it," Wright said. "It's a great stress reliever." The concept also offers a splatter paint room where guests can splash paint all over objects and themselves. While simple, the concept has been a hit. The company, which only started in 2018 in Rochester, New York, advertises a 24% profit margin and an average net profit of $198,000. When Wright began conversations a year ago, there were only 6 stores in existence, but now Wright said the company expects to pass 100 locations within a year. "That has been pretty exciting," he said. "Guess I was fortunate to get in the front end of it." His Wake Forest location at 1839 South Main Street opened May 16. It joins some similar concepts in the market, such as the Wreck-It Rage Room in Durham and the Shatter Space Rage Room in Wendell. And he underscored that smashing can be done safely with gloves, glasses, and long-sleeved clothes. He's working on locations in Charlotte, South Raleigh, Wilmington, and more. The Wake Forest store is seeing weekend bookings reach about 27 for a Saturday, and Wright is especially encouraged by the repeat business. You go into a smash room and you get to do everything you've ever been told not to do, he said. Bojangles sees more growth ahead. Bojangles, the popular fried chicken chain based out of Charlotte, is looking for big growth in 2025. CEO Jose Amarillo told the Charlotte Business Journal that the company is looking to add 50 restaurants this year, hiking the 838 it currently has, and Amarillo sees revenue now at $1.9 billion, crossing the $2 billion mark. In this industry, food wins, and Bojangles has the best food, Amarillo said. Pizza franchise to return to the Raleigh market. A pizza franchise that hasn't been in Raleigh in decades is returning to the city. Don McLaren is grabbing a slice of Glenwood Avenue restaurant space to launch a Godfather's Pizza in a former Pizza Hut at 6429 Glenwood Avenue. Godfather's Pizza is based in Omaha, Nebraska, and once had locations in the market, including Mission Valley near NC State University. McLaren plans to open the spot by this fall. Around the rest of the state, Halifax, Southern Pines, Rockingham, and Lexington have one location each. Michelin ratings could be a hospitality boost. The executive chef at one of the Triangle's top restaurants sees the coming of the Michelin rating system as a potential boost to the industry. Stephen Green, executive chef at Heron's Restaurant and the Umstead Hotel and Spa in Cary, said Michelin recognition is the highest achievement for any chef in the country or the world. It also means raising the profile of the industry, especially for aspiring chefs. Hopefully we can have full schools again, which I know the pandemic put a damper on our industry, Green said. So I think this will be a revitalization that we've needed and a surge that we as a community have needed since the pandemic. And finally, Irish Pub to add fourth location. An Irish pub with three locations in the Triangle and ties to a Raleigh original is adding a fourth in Holly Springs. Sammy Tawil, who has worked in Irish Pub since he was 18, and his business partner, John Allen, will open a Doherty's Irish Pub and Restaurant in October at Peterson Station in Holly Springs. Doherty's already has locations in Cary, Apex, and Pittsboro. This came available, and we liked it even better just because of its proximity to housing, and it's not near everything else, Tawil said. Michael Doherty and partners opened the Irish Pub Tiernanog in downtown Raleigh in 1997. Then 2 years later, they opened Connolly's Irish Pub in Cary. Tawil, an employee at the time, purchased Connolly's in 2012 and renamed it in honor of Doherty. In 2014, Tawil expanded to Apex, followed by the expansion to downtown Pittsboro last year. An Irish pub is not generally where you would go to get really, really good food, so it's rare, but our chefs are amazing, and we make everything from scratch, Tawil said. And now we turn to the top stories in the Triangle Business Journal, beginning with a story written by Lauren Onosorge. Wolfspeed pulls trigger on bankruptcy filing. New CEO details plan to restructure debt as Wolfspeed looks ahead. Durham semiconductor manufacturer Wolfspeed pulled the trigger on its bankruptcy filing June 30 as the company looks to alleviate billions in debt. In a statement, Wolfspeed said it would continue to operate as usual throughout the process. The company, one of the largest employers in the region with thousands of local employees, listed $7.6 billion in assets on $6.7 billion in debts. Creditors include Microsoft, owed $15.6 million, and Renesas Electronics owed more than $2 billion. The company's major equity holders include BlackRock, 11.7%, UBS Asset Management AG, 11.6%, and Vanguard Group, 10.2%. Wolfspeed filed in the Southern District of Texas. The document was signed by Daniel Hugo, Deputy Chief Restructuring Officer. The firm is represented by Tad Davidson, an attorney with Hunter Andrews Kurth, LLP. Formerly known as Cree, the company was founded at NC State University in 1987. Cree took a major pivot under former CEO Greg Lowe when it doubled down on Wolfspeed. It went on to divest its LED and lighting units to become a standalone semiconductor company, changing the company's name to Wolfspeed in the process. It would later be approved for a federal CHIPS Act grant, funding that is now in jeopardy. The company under Lowe was betting that the electric vehicle market would drive demand for its materials, so it took on debt as it built out facilities, a strategy co-founder John Edmund recently said was a mistake. We believed that the EV market was going to grow at about 40% rate, and we're more likely 18 or 19%. So by doing that, we built a lot of facilities too big, too fast, Edmund recently told a CBS affiliate in New York, where the company houses a massive device facility. New CEO Robert Fuhrl has pledged to turn around the debt position. New Crabtree Mall owner targets modernization. Crabtree Valley Mall's new owner shares insights on center's future, and this is written by Kate Tracy. As part of his firm's process of buying Crabtree Valley Mall in Raleigh, Corey Scott sat down with the mall's retail tenants, listening to employees' stories of visiting the mall as children. "It's just a deep, long-standing part of the community," said Scott, executive vice president of asset management at Macerich, which recently announced its acquisition of the property along Glenwood Avenue in a $290 million deal. "It's something you can't create, and it's a very unique opportunity to be able to step into such a rich tradition and hopefully apply what we think we do best to what's already an outstanding shopping center," Scott said. Macerich, based in Santa Monica, California, announced the purchase of the mall from CMV Holdings, LLC, whose ownership traces to the Abu Dhabi Investment Authority, on June 24. "It's really an iconic shopping venue, and it's in one of the most exciting and vibrant markets in the entire country right now," Scott said. It's Macerich's first foray into North Carolina. Macerich's other retail properties are located in Arizona, California, New York, and Washington, D.C. The new owners are planning a $60 million facelift, including fresh coats of paint and new lighting fixtures. The mall will also get new furniture, handrails, landscaping, and improved signage. In addition, the food court will see some improvements. As far as new tenants go, Crabtree is already anticipating Dick's House of Sport and Coach opening in the future, and that's just the start, Scott said. Meanwhile, the former Uncle Julio's space does not have a signed lease. Neither does the space that Forever 21 vacated. The mall's occupancy is 94% and has more than 200 tenants. When it comes to new tenants, Scott wants to bring entertainment venues to the mall, something he said is lacking at the property. Mungo plans 1,850 home project in Southeast Raleigh, and this is written by Kaylee Thompson. An active home builder has purchased land in Southeast Raleigh to build more than 1,800 units in what would be one of the largest residential projects in the area. Mungo Homes paid a $12.4 million for more than 345 acres on Hodge Road near the River Ridge Golf Club, according to Wake County deed records. The home builder will develop a new residential community with up to 1,850 residential units, including apartments, cottage homes, townhomes, and single-family homes. The development will be on a 526 acres total. Site plans for the project do not indicate a number for each home type. The development will have up to 10,000 square feet of neighborhood commercial space. The development will be at least 10% open space and will have an outdoor amenity area. City documents indicate it will take 10 to 15 years for full build-out for the upcoming project. Mungo Homes ranks fifth in the triangle for highest dollar amount of homes closed in 2024 at $290.87 million. It built 751 homes in the triangle in 2024 with an average price of $387,317. And finally, Texas Builder targets Clayton for more homes. This is written by Ben Tobin. America's largest home builder is fueling growth in a booming town with a new neighborhood underway. Texas-based D.R. Horton is adding to an existing community called Winston Point off Winston Road in Clayton, according to documents submitted to Johnston County. The neighborhood will include 78 lots, according to a submitted plat, with homes spread across 125 acres. The home builder recently spent $3.75 million to acquire 27 lots for the initial phase of the new neighborhood. Home prices will start in the $500,000s of dollars, well above the median sales price of around $383,000 for single-family homes in Clayton in May, according to data published by Dorify MLS. In Winston Point, D.R. Horton plans to build estate and manor homes beginning in late summer, with prices anticipated to start from the 500,000s, said Christy Green, Vice President of City Operations for D.R. Horton's Raleigh North Division. Floor plans being offered are expected to range from approximately 2,900 to 3,400 square feet with 4 to 5 bedrooms, including first floor primary, first floor guest suites, and third car garage opportunities on larger home sites, she said. Clayton remains on fire due to its close proximity to Raleigh and relatively cheap land. As of last year, the town had nearly 32,000 residents, almost twice as large as its population total from 2010, according to the United States Census Bureau. The town's proximity to Raleigh offered developers and investors a cushion to the higher costs in Wake County, but spillover growth and a flood of development has jolted land prices in Johnston County in recent years. Also, D.R. Horton recently spent $9 million to acquire 117 lots for Wilson's Ridge and Wilson's Mills that will contain around 250 homes. And now, finally, California tech firm eyes Glenwood South location. BuildOps plans to hire 300 in new East Coast hub in downtown Raleigh. And this is written by Lauren Onasorge and Kaylee Thompson. California startup BuildOps, which has revealed plans to bring nearly 300 high-paying jobs to Raleigh, is nearing a lease agreement for its new East Coast hub. The plan, according to co-founder and chief strategy officer Steve Chu, is to lease office space downtown. The company declined to say where exactly it is looking at for space, but multiple sources told Triangle Business Journal BuildOps is eyeing the Creamery building in Glenwood South. According to sources, the company is looking to fill the offices that formerly housed drone company Precision Hawk, which went bankrupt at the end of 2023 and had its assets liquidated. Sources said the Precision Hawk space is more than 26,000 square feet. Chu said recently that a decision regarding a lease was imminent. "We have a place already picked out," he said. The decision to put hundreds of jobs in the downtown area is a major win for Raleigh. The city has been looking, been working to boost foot traffic downtown ever since the pandemic put remote work at the forefront of how many companies, especially technology firms, operate. The Creamery building is owned by Turnbridge Equities of New York. The company, which has plans to redevelop the site by adding two towers, did not respond to questions about a potential lease agreement with BuildOps. Chu said the company, which selected Raleigh over Austin, Texas, has already hired more than 20 people here, and job openings for more positions are posted on its website. Chu's background is in software, including at Microsoft, where he helped launch the cloud-based version of Office apps. His BuildOps co-founder, CEO Alec Chanani, was a general contractor and real estate developer in California. The pair launched BuildOps in 2018 to address what has become a major pain point for the construction industry, inefficient technology. BuildOps developed a one-stop way to streamline the system, a SaaS platform for commercial contractors that allows them to run their whole operation from invoicing to inventory management to procurement via one platform. The company has grown to unicorn status by attracting $100 million in venture capital. And now we turn to the reporter pages in the Triangle Business Journal, starting with Lauren Onasorge's page on transportation and innovation. 540's path sparks concern at farm. Logan's garden shop owners also have a Knightdale farm. As the North Carolina Department of Transportation inches closer toward closing the complete 540 loop in eastern Wake County, local property owners are bracing for potential impact, including a well-known family in the local business community. The North Carolina Capital Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, or CAMPO, C-A-M-P-O, will dole out what's called bonus allocation funding from the complete 540 work. The construction of Complete 540's final phase from Interstate 40 to I-87 will generate $100 million in bonus allocation funds for roadway projects to ease congestion. But it's not yet clear what projects will move forward, creating confusion for property owners around 540, including a Knightdale farm that launched a social media campaign to protect its land. The issue started with a postcard. As a property owner, Robert Logan, Jr., was being notified of the potential impact from a proposed road widening project to install turn lanes at the intersection of Pool and Grasshopper Roads. Logan sent the notice to his son Joshua Logan, the owner of Grasshopper Farms, who took over the family business, Logan's Garden Shop, in Raleigh in 2015. The Logans are concerned a potential right-of-way would impact the 130-year-old storefront, formerly known as Broadwell Grocery, and Strawberry Field on their land. NCDOT said the project is nothing more than conceptual at this point and that Campo hasn't approved the project. Campo, through a spokesperson, said NCDOT is still working on designs and cost estimates. But the uncertainty didn't sit well with the Logan, so they posted on Facebook urging followers to reach out to NCDOT. The post went viral, and NCDOT heard an influx of feedback. Joshua Logan said he's not against improvements to the roadways. "We're hoping they'll give us a little bit of a voice at the table," he said. "We're not looking to stand in the way of progress." 40-year-old Durham firm files for bankruptcy. A second-generation mail services firm in Durham has closed and filed for bankruptcy after stacking up more than $7 million in debt. For more than four decades, Professional Mail Services Incorporated, or PMSI, provided first-class mail services to clients across multiple industries. Over the years, it expanded into areas such as direct mail, offset printing, product fulfillment, and high-speed laser printing. The company, founded in 1981 and led and owned by Paul Hamilton III, recently filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy reorganization. Danny Bradford, the attorney representing PMSI, said, "It was costing us more to perform the services than the revenues coming in." Listed debts totaled nearly $7.3 million in the filing. The company's assets add up to just over $1.4 million. The plan, according to Bradford, is to auction off assets to pay back creditors. Those assets include six vehicles, such as a 2023 Mercedes-Benz, and also include $400,000 worth of printing equipment. PMSI continues to make money, the filing shows. Year to date, it's inked more than $3.7 million in revenue. Hamilton, according to the filing, paid himself nearly $64,000 in salary this year. Last year, he made $175,000. His spouse, Tiffany, is listed as being paid $48,000 this year and $124,800 in 2024. Manufacturer scales up in Durham. A Durham manufacturer is adding a production line in a move that could put local technology in more vehicles. Brightview Technologies, an optics manufacturer whose products are an exterior and interior lighting components of cars, is investing in its operation, boosted by a $7 million raise last year. CEO Jennifer Aspel said demand for its products is driving the investment. Brightview is seeing demand across multiple sectors, from automotive lighting to augmented reality displays and 3D sensing. "This line is designed to be very, very flexible, allowing us to do both production and next-generation product development," she said. Aspel said Brightview is expanding capacity without adding space, as its facility upgrade 2 years ago was designed to be very modular for additional production lines. Brightview has about 50 employees, roughly the same as it did a year ago. And finally, LexisNexis slashes Raleigh office space. LexisNexis is slashing its office space in Raleigh as the company embraces the hybrid era. But the New York data analytics firm is not moving far. Just over a decade ago, its Raleigh Technology Center had fewer than 250 employees. Today, the operation at Centennial Campus has about 700, with plans to keep hiring, according to Jeff Pfeiffer, chief product officer and site leader for the Raleigh operation. The pandemic ushered in hybrid working and had LexisNexis rethinking its office footprint. The company, whose databases have become a staple in the legal industry, is moving its local operation to Venture 3 on Centennial Campus. The move reduces the firm's local office footprint from 120,000 to 65,000 square feet. And now we turn to the Life Sciences and Education page, written by Zach Ezone. RTI pivots after sweeping cuts. With new administration, RTI's Gable looks for different paths forward. Tim Gable joined RTI International in 1983 as an entry-level statistician at a time of significant disruption. When Ronald Reagan became president in 1981, he pursued budget cuts and RTI had to pivot in response. Four decades later, Gable is now leading RTI through another era of uncertainty as CEO. "We have chosen to look at this moment of disruption as a moment of opportunity," he said. The Trump administration has scaled back investment in foreign aid and terminated funding in the areas of health and education. RTI had 174 federally funded projects terminated as of June, representing about 34% of its backlog. Its North Carolina workforce has decreased by about 360 people. It now has 3,844 employees total, with 1,885 based in North Carolina. Typically, 75 to 80% of RTI's annual revenue comes from federal contracts, grants, and cooperative agreements. The remaining share comes from commercial clients, foundations, local and state governments, and other countries. Prior to the Trump cuts, the organization was expected to reach $1.4 billion in revenue this year. RTI is realigning its priorities around the existing market opportunities, leaning more into areas like energy, artificial intelligence, and military research. RTI is bolstering its commercial business. It is investing to accelerate the growth of its health solutions unit, which for years has worked in the pharmaceutical and biotechnology space. The organization also sees the potential for more opportunities with local and state governments and is looking at potentially growing its presence in Europe. As we think about diversification, we've opened our aperture a little bit more than maybe we have in the past, Gable said. BioCryst sells European business in $264 million deal. A biotechnology company in Durham is selling a business segment for up to $264 million to boost its financial footing. BioCryst Pharmaceuticals is selling the European business related to its lead product to Italian pharmaceutical company, Neopharmed Gentili, for $250 million upfront and up to $14 million in future milestones. This includes the European assets and rights related to Orladeyo, a treatment for the prevention of hereditary angioedema, a rare disorder characterized by episodes of severe swelling. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration first approved Orladeyo in late 2020 for patients 12 and older. BioCryst had subsequently launched Orladeyo in multiple countries. Last year, the company reported $438 million in Orladeyo revenue, with about $386 million coming from the U.S. Neopharmed Gentili approached BioCryst with an attractive deal, CEO John Stonehouse told investors June 27. The company's European business represents less than 10% of its global sales and has much lower margins than other territories where Orladeyo is available. The value we are receiving is much greater than we could have ever gotten out of the business operating it ourselves, Stonehouse said. The company expects the deal to close in early October. Opus Genetics, iDrop, shows promise. A biotechnology company in Research Triangle Park aims to expand the reach of its iDrop medication following positive late-stage clinical trial results. Opus Genetics on June 26 announced that a Phase 3 study focused on a type of vision loss associated with aging has met its primary endpoint. The company says its treatment demonstrated rapid and sustained improvement in near visual acuity. The eye drop medication called Phentolamine Ophthalmic Solution 0.75% is already approved to treat pharmacologically induced mydriasis, or dilated pupils, under the brand name Ryzumi. With these positive results, Opus plans to file paperwork this year with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to expand the medication's use to include presbyopia, which is the age-related loss of near vision. Opus, a formerly private biotech company, became a public company last year through a merger with Ocufire Pharma. And finally, UNC System joins new college accreditor. The University of North Carolina system is joining public university systems from five other states to form a new college accreditor. The new Commission for Higher Public Education also will include the State University System of Florida, the University System of Georgia, the University of South Carolina, the University of Tennessee, and the Texas A&M University System. The new commission follows officials raising concerns about the accreditation model. The Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Commission on Colleges is a large regional accreditor that includes institutions throughout the Southeast. UNC President Peter Hahn said that is a more focused and effective approach. And now we turn to the Greater Triangle page written by Ben Tobin. New subdivision to rise in Lillington. Small town continues to add homes at rapid pace as Canadian firm jumps in. One of the hottest communities around the Triangle is set to get another subdivision. Mattamy Homes of Toronto is planning a new community called Freedom Acres off Tim Curran Road near NC 27 west of Lillington. The group purchased the vast majority of those lots for around $6.1 million late last month, according to Harnett County deed records. Bradley Stancil, who sold the land, confirmed Freedom Acres will have 75 homes at full build-out. While we don't have specific information on the anticipated sales prices at this time, construction is expected to begin within the next 30 days, he said. We're excited about our strong partnership with Madami Homes, who will be the exclusive builder for this community, he said. Lillington, located on the Cape Fear River, has nearly 5,000 residents and is roughly halfway between Raleigh and Fayetteville. With all the homes coming, it could surpass Dunn, 8,700 residents, as the largest town in Harnett County. In the past few months, Triangle Business Journal has reported on multiple new neighborhoods planned in and around Lillington. In May, KB Home of Los Angeles opened its newest community, Elise Meadows, off McDougal Road. The subdivision will include 103 homes with prices starting at $290,000. Dream Finders Homes of Florida is planning a neighborhood called Magnolia Ridge off Micro Tower Road. A site plan calls for about 80 single-family homes starting at $265,500. D.R. Horton has started construction on a neighborhood off Matthews Road with 97 single-family homes. And then there's the crown jewel residential development of Lillington, Serenity. Put together by Greenfield Communities of Raleigh, the subdivision will span 550 acres and have just under 1,200 homes. RealtyLink proposes retail project in Lee County. Sanford business leaders have long been talking about getting more retail in the Lee County city. A new project could help to fulfill that goal. Brittany Elliott, a development manager at RealtyLink, a South Carolina real estate development company, has submitted plans to the Sanford-Lee County Broadway Technical Review Committee to build 200,000 square feet of retail with a fuel center and four outparcels at 3350 NC 87. The land consists of more than 30 acres zoned for residential use, and the developers would seek a conditional zoning district for that property per the application. The proposal is part of Adams Village, a mixed-use project led by Ray Covington, a local developer. In September 2024, South Carolina's Contender Development purchased the land for the residential portion, roughly 85 acres, that can hold hundreds of housing units. A group, Adams Village LLC, that lists Covington as the manager, in Secretary of State filings, owns the land for the commercial component. Its property value is just shy of $1 million, according to tax records. Covington said the ownership team is super excited about the commercial project. I think it will continue to draw people to Sanford and help Sanford continue to grow, he said. Boston developer buys nearly 13 acres near I-40. A Boston developer specializing in industrial and residential real estate has picked up more than a dozen acres off one of the busiest intersections in Johnston County, FF Cleveland Road and LLC, that Secretary of State filing show shares an address with Foxfield LLC, purchased 12.8 acres off Cleveland Road in Garner earlier this month for just shy of $2.7 million, according to deed records. That's almost $211,000 per acre. The land sits near the intersection of Interstate 40 and NC 42. The land is zoned for both RA, residential and agriculture, and IHI, Interstate Highway Exchange, uses. Per Johnston County Code, the latter is for uses commonly found at the interchange of interstates and could include restaurants, gas stations, grocery stores, hotels, offices, and more. Per its website, Foxfield has 8 million square feet of assets under management or development, but none appear to be located in North Carolina. And finally, in Lee County, 223 home project planned for booming Sanford. Another large residential development is on deck for Sanford. Urban Design Partners, a civil engineering company based in Raleigh, has submitted plans to the Sanford-Lee County Broadway Technical Review Committee for a 223-unit subdivision at 1017 Deep River Road in Sanford. Highway 54 Partners, a Cary-based LLC that lists well-known local developer Roy Mashburn as a managing member, is the owner of the property. The LLC purchased the land in March 2022 for $1.38 million, according to Lee County deed records. Per the filed plans, the proposed subdivision would consist of 116 townhomes and 107 single-family homes. The neighborhood would be spread across 54 acres. And now we turn to Kaylee Thompson's page, Real Estate and Development. Software company back to UNC roots, IotaCom lands Franklin Street location, looks to staff up in Chapel Hill. A software company is putting its headquarters in downtown Chapel Hill amid an effort by the town to transform its economy. IotaCom Incorporated, which deals in wireless communications and data analytics, is relocating its headquarters from Allentown, Pennsylvania, to the top floor of the office building at the corner of West Franklin and Church Streets. The trek south comes as the company moves from fully remote to a hybrid work structure and begins a hiring plan that involves recruiting recent UNC Chapel Hill grads. Being an innovator, we really felt the Research Triangle Park area was the place to be, said IotaCom CEO Terrence DeFranco, who earned his undergraduate and MBA degrees from UNC. It was really important for us to attract talent from the university. He noted that the company has had 8 interns from Carolina. We love that, but we want to actually start recruiting graduating talent, and we see that proximity as something that's going to help us, DeFranco said. The company will move into the space at 200 West Franklin Street, once the home of Michael Jordan's Restaurant 23, by August 1st, starting its 7.5-year lease. DeFranco said its lease agreement involves incrementally growing into the 15,000-square-foot space. That means the company will hire 15 to 20 people in the first 12 to 18 months, then double that number in the next 24 months. Eventually, DeFranco's goal is to fill the office with 70 people. Having the company based downtown is another piece of the puzzle as Chapel Hill seeks to remake the Franklin Street corridor into more of a business and professional area instead of one that primarily caters to the college crowd. IotaCom has 13 employees now, all of whom are virtual. The new hybrid policy will commence with new hires for the Chapel Hill location. Industrial portfolio is sold for $555 million. An industrial real estate portfolio in the Triangle has been sold for a staggering amount, more than $500 million. In the latest sign that the industrial and warehouse market in the Triangle remains robust with strong demand. New York investment management firm Town Lane acquired 6 industrial parks for $554.9 million, according to deed records for Wake and Durham counties. The company bought the portfolio from Equus Capital Partners Limited and Partners Group, which had the properties recapitalized at $414 million in 2021. Town Lane purchased the buildings out of its inaugural fund, Town Lane Real Estate Opportunities Fund 1. The fund raised $1.2 billion in 2024. The acquisition occurred in 7 separate transactions. A spokesperson for Town Lane said the company purchased the portfolio because of the strong demand and tailwinds for industry space in the Triangle. The company invests in infill, shallow bay industrial properties that provide services to the local economy. The company will invest in value-add capital expenditures to support current tenants and attract new leases. Some of the sites are also entitled for more development, which the spokesperson said the company will consider activating under its ownership. Raleigh land sells for $1 million per acre near NCSU. A collection of parcels located between the Raleigh Beltline and the NC State University campus sold for more than $1 million per acre to a local developer. Raleigh developer Evergreen Construction Company paid $3.2 million for 6 parcels off Western Boulevard, according to Wake County deed records. The parcels total 2.95 acres, making the price $1.08 million per acre. Evergreen plans to build affordable senior housing on the property. The project, called Lorimer Springs, will have 60 rental units for those 55 and older, earning 60% or less of the area median income, according to plans filed with the city. It will be a mix of 1 and 2 bedrooms in a 3-story building. Lorimer Springs would be at 1104 Lorimer Road, 4307 and 4309 Western Boulevard, and 4310, 4318, and 4322 Garland Drive. There are 2 single-family homes and a triplex home on site. The combined assessment value of the property is $1.98 million. And finally, For Rent Texas Builder dives into Raleigh market. An Austin, Texas developer with a For Rent home model is trying to break into the Raleigh market. Urban Moment Development is applying to rezone land off Capitol Boulevard near Wake Forest. The rezoning application would allow for unique horizontal multifamily housing. Urban Moment wants 30 acres near Wakefield Commons to be rezoned to residential 10 to allow for 4.3 units per acre. Urban Moment is proposing building for rent detached and attached homes with yards and traditional apartment amenities. The current zoning is Highway District and Residential 30. The property would have to be annexed from Wake County into Raleigh's jurisdiction. The Residential 30 zoning in Wake County only allows for 1.45 units per acre. And now we turn to the Retail and Restaurants page written by Kate Tracy. Holiday Inn seeks historic designation. New York developer now wants tax deferral as it looks to renovate hotel. The owner of downtown Raleigh's Round Holiday Inn is planning to pour nearly $50 million into renovating the property and is looking to get the property designated as a historic property. Title Real Estate Partners of New York has received a $49 million construction and renovation loan from New York's Mavic Capital, part of a $71 million capitalization of the property. The hotel will be rebranded as a Hotel Indigo under the IHG Hotel and Resorts banner. The goal is to reopen in late 2026. Title has hired Earl Swenson and Associates of Nashville, Tennessee as the architect, John Moriarty and Associates of Durham as the general contractor, and INC Architecture and Design of New York as the interior designer. Sage Hospitality Group of Denver will manage the Hotel Indigo. The renovation is a dramatic departure from the title's initial plan, which called for a 20-story tower with a Kimpton Hotel and high-end apartments. The developer purchased the hotel and adjacent parking lot in 2021 for $23.8 million. Title is simultaneously pursuing a historic designation for the property. On June 25, Title and Heritage Consulting Group filed an application for historic landmark designation status with the City of Raleigh. Colette Kinane, a senior preservation planner with the city, said she has been speaking with the hotel owners for the past several months regarding landmark status. Kinane said the circular design of the hotel adds something distinct to the Raleigh skyline. Earning official landmark status means the property owners will also be eligible for a 50% property tax deferral. But for the hotel to qualify for federal and state tax credits, the owners would need to pursue a National Register designation at the federal level. The final decision comes down to a city council vote. Running store in Raleigh facing finish line. After more than a decade in business, Raleigh native and NC State University graduate Alex Warren has finished the retail race. The owner of Runology, located at 1614 Automotive Way near the Mordecai neighborhood, announced he's closing the running store on June 30. "I'm tired of fighting this uphill battle," he said. Warren named a few reasons for deciding to move on from retail. For one, he recognized the tough competition in the booming running industry, particularly from Carrboro's Fleet Feet. "There's a lot of saturation in the marketplace when it comes to running specialty stores," Warren said. Warren added that for his business to grow, he would have needed to open more than one location. He also had trouble getting stock from different vendors to sell, especially with online competition. "Ultimately, people are searching for the cheapest option online, which is taking out the heart and soul of local stores," Warren said. A big draw for Warren, who ran cross country at NC State, to enter the running business was simply for the love of running. "We have a passion for running. We don't have passion for sales," he said. Fenton adds Sweet Paris to its food lineup. Fenton is adding Sweet Paris Crêperie and Cafe to its growing lineup in Cary, the first North Carolina location for the growing Houston brand. Fenton is one of 15 Sweet Paris locations that Verenti's Hospitality, an investment arm of the Verenti's Partners Group, has agreed to develop in partnership with the restaurant chain. The Crepes restaurant will open at Fenton next spring, according to a release. Fenton is a partnership between Heinz and Columbia Development. Fenton is also adding the Yoga 6 franchise this winter. Paul Zarian, managing director at Heinz, said in a statement that Yoga 6 and Sweet Paris reflect Fenton's vision to create a vibrant, experience-driven destination. And finally, architecture firm files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. An architecture firm in Durham has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy reorganization. Finley Design, with offices at 7806 Highway 751 south of Interstate 40, entered bankruptcy proceedings earlier this month. The firm has between $100,001 and $500,000 in assets and between $1 million in one and $10 million in liabilities, according to the filing. Finley Design president Carrie Finley started the firm in 2004 and now employs seven people. The company has streamlined our operations over the course of the last year, according to Finley. He said the firm was impacted by challenges in the construction sector in the wake of the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank in 2023. The banks became extremely conservative following that for any kind of construction financing, he said. Creditors include Blade Funding Corporation for $150,095, Capital Associates for $170,504, and Highland Hill Capital for $140,000. And our last reporter page in the Triangle Business Journal is Workplace and Hospitality, written by Lauren Rhodes. New workplace option in Durham. Switch Yards concept offers a fresh take on traditional workspace. The world's first designated work club, that's in quotes, is expanding to Durham. And the first thing Switch Yards wants customers to know is that they're not a co-working space. Opening August 4, the 5,000-square-foot space inside a warehouse at 733 Foster Street is designed to be a blend between a college library, a coffee shop, and a hotel lobby. The space features a library, private phone booths, bookable meeting rooms, and a cafe serving coffee from Durham Roasters, Little Waves, and Omies. The space will be open 24/7. Switch Yards functions through a membership system, according to creative director Brandon Hinman. Perks include unlimited free coffee, fast Wi-Fi, guest passes, a club tabloid paper made by members, and access to their other 27 locations in cities such as Atlanta, Asheville, and Charleston, South Carolina. The Durham location will offer 250 memberships at $100 a month. Sales start on July 31. Switch Yards is hosting a sneak peek for prospective members to check out the space the day before. Hinman said their location in Austin, Texas, sold out in under 3 minutes. The brand prioritizes being a place where any type of worker, entrepreneur, business hybrid worker, students can find community and get more work done in 2 hours than in 2 days anywhere else, in quotes, Hinman said. Think of it more like a gym membership, he said, where members can pop in as part of their weekly or daily routine. Hinman said the Triangle has been on the company's radar since they started. They decided to expand to Durham because the space and demographics of the city closely align with their market. But there's a growing need for that third place for work in this city and beyond, a space that's not your home or office, but somewhere in between to mix it up, CEO Michael Devani said in a statement. And our last story, Raleigh among best cities for college grads. For new college grads looking to score a job, the Triangle is a pretty safe bet. Raleigh ranks number 5 in Zumper's 2025 Best Cities for College Grads list. A growing tech and research hub, Raleigh made a name for itself with its blend of opportunity and southern charm. Charlotte came in at number 8, the city's lower cost of living compared to similar metros paired with fast growth and a low unemployment put it high on the list. The study analyzed 100 of the most populous cities in the country, and Raleigh ranked 7th last year on the list. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. And if you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-518. That is 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.